Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Delaney. So what?
It's the Friday morning episode. It's the weekend coming up. We've got some predictions to do later on, Sam, and we have got some Nations League predictions to do, seeing as the Premier League's out of action this weekend.
How dreary.
The random fixture generator has come up with some cracking matches for us to analyse with our,
maybe not keen, dreary then.
Footballistic, analytical eyeballs, but we'll come to them later on. Don't know what's going on with you. Anything?
A couple of things have happened to me this week that are noteworthy.
Good.
One is, and this is the sort of thing that is like, if anyone's going to know this, it'll be Andy Dawson. So it's a bit of a shame that I'm telling you, because anyone else would be, well, Sam, that's the best fact I've heard in months. But you'll be like, oh, yeah.
I can feign disbelief, if you like. Depending on how good it is.
Do you remember Janet Brown from the 80s, who played Margaret Thatcher all the time?
Yep, I do. There was also Faith Brown as well, who also did impersonate. But she was a sort of a brassier version of Janet Brown. She was a bit,
I might be getting them muddled up.
I'm going to use the word tartier, even though that's not an appropriate word in 2020.
You're not allowed to use that anymore. But anyway, I'm definitely talking about Janet Brown.
Yeah.
Do you know who she was married to?
I think I probably will do when you tell me, but I can't think off the top of my head. Go on.
Peter Butterworth. Out of the Carry On films, right?
The farmer from the Carry On films.
Panned. The one, if you're not sure, if you're listening to this and you can't quite place him, if you've seen Carry On Camping, and if you haven't, stop listening to this podcast, right? Then it's really not for you. Go and listen to something else, right? He's the farmer who went Sid Boggle.
Yeah.
Or Vic Flange. I always get confused because in Carry On Abroad, he's one name, Sid James, and in Carry On Company, he's another. So in one, he's Sid Boggle, and in the other one, he's Vic Flange. Like, I always get them all the way around. Anyway, whoever Sid James is playing in Carry On Camping, he goes and he's with, what's his name?
What about a girl, Sid?
Right, his mate. And Peter Butterworth is an unscrupulous farmer who's charging people to camp on his farm, isn't he? How much of the pitch, mate? Panned. How much do you use the toilets? Panned. What about parking space from a car? Panned. Anyway, Peter Butterworth has the cheekiest face in British history, I reckon, right? But what a gigantic power couple Butterworth and Brown were in the 70s and going into the 80s. Especially when Brown really hit a stride. Butterworth had his heyday probably in the 70s. But then the 80s comes and suddenly Janet Brown is the world's most in-demand Margaret Thatcher impersonator.
Yeah.
Margaret Thatcher is like, she's box office, right? She's suddenly gone. Her career's gone stratospheric, Andy.
Yeah.
She started a war. She shut down all the mines. Everything, right? And she's literally ruining lives over breakfast, right? Off the back of 4 hours sleep. The Thatcher's the name on everyone's lips, right? Janet Brown's cornered the fucking market in impersonating her. But back home, she's with fucking Peter Butterworth, right? So I'm saying they're the fucking Posh and Becks of their day,
pretty
right?
Pretty much were, yeah. I mean, to be fair to Peter Butterworth, he was in a lot of Carry On films and he played lots of different characters. But then I've just said that he was the farmer in the Carry On. Yeah. He wasn't the farmer in all of them, was he?
No, but he was better.
That's his most memorable
Carry On.
One.
He was in loads of them, but he was better in Carry On Abroad because he played that guy who did every job in the hotel.
Yeah. I've just been very quickly trying to look up the names of all the characters that Sid James played in the Carry On films. Would you like me to read some of them out to you, Sam?
Yes, definitely, yeah.
I'll read that. What we've got, Carry On Cruising, he was Captain Wellington Crowther. Carry On.
Did Len make up these names?
Yeah. I'll start at the beginning. Carry On Constable, 1960, Sergeant Frank Wilkins. Quite boring. Carry On Regardless, Bert Handy. Good. And then there was Carry On Cruising, Sir Wellington Crowther. And then Carry On Cabbie, he was Charlie Hawkins. That's just an archetypal Sid James kind of name, isn't it?
That was an early Carry On, wasn't it?
Carry On Cleo, he was Mark Antony, who was an actual historical figure. Carry On Cowboy, he played Johnny Finger, the Rumpo Kid. Carry On Don't Lose Your Head, he played Sir Rodney Fing, two F's, I-N-G, and the Black Fingernail. Carry On Doctor.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Carry On Doctor, he was Charlie Roper. Carry On Up the Khyber, Sir Sidney Rough Diamond. Good.
They've not even made an effort with that one. Now, this character, what's he like? Well, he's a bit of a rough diamond, in a way. What should we call him? Just call him Sidney Rough Diamond.
Don't even give him a fucking different first name.
It's like if you were called Andy Podcast Man.
Podcastman.
Boy, remember that. Podcastman's a really good. Have you used that before? That's good.
I haven't. Carry On Camping, Sid Boggle.
Yeah.
Carry On Again, Doctor. Gladstone Screwer.
Gladstone Screwer.
Gladstone Screwer.
Lovely stuff.
Carry On Up the Jungle, Bill Boozy. Carry On Loving, Sidney Bliss. Carry On Henry the Eighth. Carry On At Your Convenience, Sid Plummer. Matron, Sid Carter.
In this one, he's a plumber. Just call him Sid Plumber.
Carry On Abroad, Vic Flange.
Vic Flange.
Classic.
Vic Flange has one of my favourite ever Carry On moments where he sits down and he's obviously married to Joan Sims, but when I was younger, I used to think, she's a right pain in the arse, his wife. And now I realise, Joan Sims is really nice.
Yeah.
Vic Flange is an absolute fucking cunt. Right? Yeah. Complete cunt. But it's hard not to be enamoured with him, especially when you're younger and you first start watching the Carry Ons, right?
Yeah.
So he's fucking... Do you know what he did? In this film, he's a publican with Joan Sim, you'll remember. Mm. And he sets up a fucking holiday with his bit on the side, who's a bird who drinks in the pub, played by Babs Windsor. He is somehow... The balls on the man is unbelievable. He has somehow set up a fucking, like, situation where his wife always says she doesn't like going abroad, right? I can't remember what it is. She doesn't like the food or something, right?
Yeah.
So he says, okay, I'm going to go on a package tour on my own, right? And she sort of thought, a bit fucking weird. And then she finds out, because Babs gives it away, that he's fixed it. So Babs is going to be on the same package tour, right? They're having it away. So last minute, Joan Sims goes, actually, I am going to fucking come. And Sid is gutted. So he finds himself on holiday with his wife and his bit on the side. But his bit on the side now has to sit separately to them at dinner and stuff. And, of course, everyone else starts trying it on with that, which drives him mad. Anyway, they're sat at dinner. One night they get placed on a table in this hotel, which is run by Peter Butterworth, with... what's her name? Terry and June.
June Whitfield.
June Whitfield and Kenneth Connor, right? Who play this sort of very uptight sort of middle class family, right? And couple. And so Vic Flange is trying to sort of give them a bit of banter, loosen them up a bit. And he says to her, he says to June Whitfield, glass of wine. And she goes, no, thank you, I don't drink. And he goes, oh, strange. She went, and she goes, I tried it once, I didn't like it. He goes, oh, cigarette. And he gets out his cigarettes and she goes, no, thanks, I tried it once and I didn't like it. And he goes, that is strange. And she goes, not really, my daughter's just the same. And Mick Flange goes, your only child, I presume. And Kenneth Connor just pisses himself laughing because he's sat there, and obviously Carry On films being what they are, the whole premise of that couple is she never lets him have it off with her.
Yeah.
Which is basically the dynamic of every married couple in the Carry On films, yeah, isn't it? The wife just will not let the man have sex with her.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I tell you what, I've been watching, we've got Kenneth Connor in, I've been watching repeats on Nuclear Gold of Heidi High. Heidi High is fucking brilliant.
I don't remember him being in it. I remember him in Hello, Hello.
He turned up in the last series, I think, as the new children's entertainer on the campsite, because I think the old fella who was the drunk Punch and Judy man must have either
died. The grumpy
died,
one who hated kids.
Was just, you know, unable to continue. So Kenneth Connor turns up. As this, he's basically a tramp. He's a lecherous tramp. And he turns up as the new children's entertainer in the last series. But Heidi High, I mean, I'd forgotten how great it is.
I used to love it.
I think a lot of the jokes probably went over my head because I was just a kid.
Yeah,
and you watch
it
now and you get it all and it's so good. But then again, it was written by David Croft and Jimmy Perry, who wrote Dad's Army, so, you know.
Yeah, their ones are the ones that always say you have been watching, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they did Hello, Hello as well.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's a great premise, really, isn't it? I mean, all of their premises, you do, setting one in a fucking traditional holiday camp is just a brilliant, I mean, you got everything there, haven't you? You got it all, it's perfect for a sitcom. Hello, Hello was sort of like that all around the cafe during the French Resistance.
Yeah.
I mean,
Dad's Army is in the hall.
Exactly.
They just have one location where everyone is
they have a premise
together.
Exactly, and you can have all different sorts of people all mixing together.
Rubbing up against each other, yeah.
Exactly. Classes, nationalities in the case of Hello, Hello, which is when they really got to go to town.
But Heidi High is so fucking good. I've been watching them. We got up to Vic Flange, Carry On Abroad. Carry On Girls, he played Sidney Fiddler.
Yeah.
And the premise of Carry On Girls is great. I don't know how well this film stands up now, but local councillor Sidney Fiddler persuades the mayor to help improve the image of their run-down seaside town by holding a beauty contest. But formidable councillor Prodworthy, head of the local women's liberation movement, has other ideas.
Prodworthy.
Is that going to be Joan Sims or is that going to be...
Hattie Jakes,
yeah. Let's find out. And the big reveal is June Whitfield.
Perfect. Actually,
Augusta
she's the best of all of them for that role. But playing up tight, she's just so good at that, isn't she?
Yeah, it's open warfare as the women's lib attempt to sabotage the contest. So, a bit of feminism brought into Carry On there. Carry On
yeah,
Girls.
But completely to mock, I bet. And about this new movement. We should get that in the new film.
I'm kind of keen to watch that one again to see how it played out.
I've got the lot on DVD because there was some mad sale like a couple of years ago, a couple of Christmases
on Instagram.
Ago. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I haven't watched them yet. I'll watch them. They'll all be in Chinese. I have got them all. But to be honest, I'm a bit lazy with them because I go back to the classics and I don't often go and, like, you know, those later ones, the very early ones and the very late ones don't tend to watch.
Yeah.
Like, once you go to Carry On Screaming, Carry On At Your Convenience, I wasn't that into it, but the one is, you know, you tend to watch Carry On Doctor, Carry On Abroad, Carry On Like the Khyber, which I've probably said before, my dad is in as an extra.
Oh, my dad was
a film extra. My dad was a film extra in the 60s and 70s. It's like a sort of a side hustle thing.
Yeah.
And there's certain films when we were kids we'd know you could pause. It's the main chance I got to see my dad when I was a kid. there'd be a Sunday film on and they'd be like, pause this film. There'd always be some films on there. And the two I always remember is one, you can't quite see him, but he is one of the geezers who lifts the kilt up and carry on up the Khyber.
Really?
You know, they all have to stand in a line.
Yeah.
And he shouts them all to lift their kilt. My dad's one of them.
Wow.
And he's also in a Western called The Searchers, where he plays a drunk cowboy. Like, God. You have to pause and, like, look, he's in the background. It's one of those situations.
And do you feel sort of a bit emasculated by the fact that you'll never achieve anything to that level in your life?
But don't forget, mate, I've told you before about that time I played a sound engineer in an Italian comedy film about the Beatles.
You did, yeah. That's true, yeah.
Do you
get recognised when you go to Italy?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. I do. But I tend to sort of always wear glasses and a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disguise yourself. Good idea. The final one that we didn't touch on was Carry On Dick, where Sid simply played Big Dick Turpin.
Yeah, brilliant. Obviously, also, that's one of my favourites.
It was one of those where he played two characters. He also played the Reverend Flasher. So there we go. Sid James.
I got them all. I could do a fucking Carry On marathon. In fact, I might. I've been trying to have a just rest week, mate. I've just been. I had a big list of things that I needed to do, but then I realised I just wasn't feeling quite energised or enthusiastic. I was feeling a bit flat. Now I thought, half of these things are just not even things that I actually have to do. They're things that I've invented for myself to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've got a bit of a tendency to do that. And then you think, and then I'm under loads of pressure and think, I've got to get this done. I still haven't got that done. I've got a deadline. And you think, you haven't got a fucking deadline. No one's expecting you to do this. This is something that you've invented. You might as well be playing fucking offices like when you were a kid with a Fisher-Price office set. Making up projects. It's only a matter of time before I create puppets who are supposed to be my bosses. Sorry, sir, I will have that report on your desk as promised by 5. By EOP. End of play. Going slowly mad in lockdown.
Like that, don't they? Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
That happens out there.
I'll have that with you by EOP.
Jesus Christ. Fucking hell.
So, mate, the Yorkshire Ripper's dead.
What's the ETA on that?
ETA, yeah. TBC.
EOP.
The ETA is TBC, but I should know EOP.
Yeah.
It's the sort of shit that they said in... That was like those two blokes in Reginald Perrin used to do all that stuff, didn't they? It was a joke back then. Now it's reality.
You mentioned the Yorkshire Ripper there. The Yorkshire Ripper's died. COVID. COVID got him, so that's one good thing to come out of the COVID thing.
And they're not being football fan parks anymore.
Yeah. Slight connection, I suppose, with Sid James, because they were both...
Misogyny? No.
Yeah, 1970s misogynists.
Misogyny.
And the Sunderland connection as well.
What's the Sunderland connection?
Are you aware of the Sunderland connection?
No.
Well, Sid James died at the Sunderland Empire Theatre, appearing. He died in the dressing room, I think. But his ghost is set to haunt the Sunderland Empire to this day. What a ghost that would be.
Fucking Sid James. Brilliant. Yeah. Women often feel a pinching sensation on their buttocks as they walk through the door.
Yeah. So there's that. And of course, the Yorkshire Ripper investigation was seriously diverted to Sunderland after the hoax tapes were sent in.
Oh, by some bloke in Sunderland.
And if you're of a certain age, you will know a family member who was questioned about the Yorkshire Ripper thing.
Really? Everyone got asked?
They questioned thousands of blokes.
Who was it? Did they catch 70s. A bloke in
they
the
did,
end?
They caught him in about, I don't know, maybe it was about fucking 15 years ago or so. Because DNA technology.
So he'd sort of done it for Bance, probably.
He'd done it for Bance. Yeah, it was a fellow called John Humble.
That's just Mac and Bance, man. It's not even a big deal.
Didn't mean it to get out of control. It was just it was a bit like the phone calls that Noel Edmonds does on the breakfast show in the morning, where he rings someone up and pretends to be someone else. I thought that's what I was doing. It was a homage to Noel Edmonds, really, if anything.
Well, the way I saw it was a very sad situation, and I was doing my best to make, give it a little bit of fun out of it. Do you know what I mean? Let's see if we can make the best of a bad situation here and have a bit of fun with it. But no one thanked me. Quite the opposite.
So the entire West Yorkshire Police diverted their investigation. And I mean, they said that it probably led to the deaths of at least three or four more women because they were focusing on Sunderland.
Well, look, I don't know a lot about the case, but I would say that sounds to me a little bit like a convenient excuse for the old Bill.
Well, if you've seen documentaries about the investigation, it was so fucking shambolic, it's untrue.
Exactly. It was like, if they fucking knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have been fooled by some fucking prankster, would
exactly.
they?
Exactly. This fella sent a tape in and they just took it at face value and went, oh, this must be him.
Oh, he sent we've got a tape fucking in. Divert all resources there. And then it's convenient for them when loads of other people get murdered to go, oh, well, we would have caught him by now if we hadn't ended up in Sunderland. You silly cunts.
I think they said there was one or two bits of information in the tapes that hadn't been public domain or something, which made them think that it was legit. But I think he just kind of looked upon them.
Fluked.
And just, just fluked it. But the fella that did it, this John Humble fella, he was basically, he was just an unemployed drunk. Mm. And he'd been arrested for something about 15 years ago. And then they took his DNA, obviously as they did then, but they still had the envelope with his saliva on that he'd sent the tapes in. And it sent letters as well, I think. So that was still on file. So it just matched up the DNA.
Are you the fella that led the funny phone calls pretending to be the Yorkshire Ripper? Aye, that was me, yeah.
Basically,
well, fucking hell, man. We've been looking for you for like 30 years, like.
Yeah, that wasn't fair.
I felt that I got a bit of a bad rap off of that, if I'm honest.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that'll get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
As I've mentioned before, a good mate of mine used to effectively be the press officer for Peter Sutcliffe.
Oh, yeah, of course, when he was in
like
Broadmoor.
Because he was like the head of communications at Broadmoor. And so, obviously, this morning I was in touch with him going, you know, Sutcliffe's dead. And thoughts and prayers are with you, mate. I know he was a good pal. I basically did write that, to be honest.
I didn't mean like that. I mean, what are your thoughts? But, you know, if that's what you said to him, then that's fine.
Yeah. No, he actually came up with a good one because he wrote Yorkshire R.I.P.
Oh, yeah. It's good. Quite good. Yeah.
Anyway, it put me in mind of what he told me. Again, probably said this, but how every year at Christmas... the Sun used to make someone ring up Broadmoor, regular as clockwork, and go, is it true that all of the prisoners, including Peter Sutcliffe and all the other fucking nutters, right, we've heard, they all get lovely Christmas dinner with all the trimmings.
All the trimmings. What's that mean? What's all the trimmings?
Trimmings, yeah. Oh. You know what I think when I hear all the trimmings? I know this trimmings. Isn't it. I know this isn't it, but what I always think of, for some reason, a picture in my head, is, you know those little things, you know when you've got a roasted chicken or turkey, you know there's like little white paper things that look like chef's hats.
That go on the legs, yeah.
Yeah. Whenever I hear all the trimmings, they're that's the what trimmings. I picture. Yeah. I think, oh, because that's like sort of, that's like symbolic of the fanciest type of meal you can get. Yeah. No, you just put a turkey on the table, yeah, it's pretty good. put the little paper hats on its legs. Whoa, yeah, fucking yeah. hell.
And also...
That's some, all the trimmings.
Some tinsel around the inside of the table. Lining yeah. the inside of the table. That's the trimmings.
So they go, look at all that. We're never even going to have them little paper hats on the legs of the turkey. Is it true? Right? And they even read out a menu. They go, this is the menu we see. Luxury M&S Christmas pudding with brandy and brandy butter.
This is the menu what we've made up.
Yeah, no, but that was it. They would make up a menu that was just insane. Like, prawn cocktail with King Mediterranean prawns and luxury Fortner and Mason Merry Rose sauce, right? All this stuff. And I'd go, right, well, we're going to read it out. And he would have to say that my mate, the press guy, because it was just the policy of that they had there, was he couldn't deny it. He'd go, as you know, we do not ever comment on anything to do with our patients or inmates, or whatever they called them here.
So you're refusing to deny it then?
Yeah, exactly. And my mate would always go, listen, mate, I know you're going to print it either way. I know that's what this phone call is about, so you can at least say that you've given us a right to reply. But as usual, you know, regular slot work, as usual, every year, no comment, right? Mm-hmm. So they go, oh, thanks very much for your assistance, right? And then it would be like a massive story every year, and they'd mock up a picture. It'd say to the bottom, what the meal that monster Peter Sutcliffe might be tucking into on Christmas Day may look like.
And then they'd ring up in June, and it'll be, we've heard that they're all having a sports day on Saturday. and the sun's going to shine. We've looked at the forecast, and we've heard that they're all going to get medals, because that's how it is these days, because you regard them all as heroes and winners.
And we heard that they're having a special barbecue at the end. We like baggers, chops, burgers, everything. And the barbecue trimmings. Was going to be done by Sam Fox and all the other page three girls that you were paying to come and cook all the burgers and that. And they're all going to be in bikinis.
Except you're not paying for it. We are. You're a taxpayer.
Once again, Mr. Pigface, we cannot offer any comment. Thank you very much for your assistance.
But I mean, as I told you before, I used to work for the Sunday Sport. And like the editor once said to me, you know, he says, when it comes to people like serial killers and murderers, we can just make up anything we want and put it in, because they can't they can't sue us for libel. Because for suing someone for libel, there's got to be reputational damage. And there could be no greater reputational damage than kill 13 women.
Being a serial killer.
So it's open season on them. But
fills the papers, doesn't it? Why? I suppose people like reading, like, lies about serial killers.
Well, of course they do. People just like reading fucking tittle-tattle and gossip about anyone noteworthy, don't they? They print more if they get away with it.
That's true. But with me personally, I'm scared of the murdering community. Right. And so I try not to read about them much, because it just shits me up a bit.
You're not scared of them actually coming and murdering you? You're scared of just them as an entity?
Just as an entity,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, I've had my dealings with murderers, most notably the Sky Murderer from Liverpool, who plagued me for quite a few years. He's still at large as well, so I shouldn't talk about him so much, just in case he does come and murder me. But yeah, you know, I've had my dealings with murderers, and some of them could have scowled.
Yeah.
I mean, they're no problem at all. They don't give me a moment's trouble. My attitude is, you treat them with respect and they'll not murder you. But, you know, that's not always been the case, I suppose. But I just take murderers as I find them.
Yeah.
No, I don't like reading about the old murderers and stuff. I started watching that thing that you recommended, the David Tennant thing, where he plays, what's his name?
Dennis Nielsen, yeah.
It was good. Yeah, I could see it was really well made, and David Tennant was fucking really good in it. I mean, it was hilarious.
Well, that was the best bit about it was Tennant's portrayal of him, yeah.
I mean, it's the way that when they get in his house, he just doesn't. The bit for me, I mean, I think I got two episodes in and I thought, oh, I can't stomach this, right?
Mm.
But I like it when he first comes home, the undramatic way that he is arrested when he comes home. But the bit that, I don't know if a lot of people noted, but I fucking did. You know what the and there's not enough made of this, but I'm going to do a bit of Googling about it. He's wearing a fucking Spurs shirt. It was in North Spurs scarf. It's in North London as well. And he comes home, he's Scottish, but he's wearing a fucking Spurs scarf. Hey, don't worry about that. Fucking speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know whether the director was Arsenal or West Ham or Chelsea or something, and they just stuck it on there for a laugh.
Put that on him. Put that on the cunt.
Yeah, everyone will know he's fucking Tottenham. Was he Tottenham? I had fucking no.
Doesn't matter,
probably.
Does it?
It's the sort of thing I can imagine fucking Spurs doing. Chopping geezers out and sticking them down a bog. Classic Tottenham. Right. But he goes, they go, right. They just go, fuck's sake, mate. Where's the body? And he just goes, oh, it's in there.
It's in
I killed him. I killed him. But he was nice. But in the end, I bashed his brains in.
Mm.
Like that, really, yeah. Like sort of thoughtful. Like, if I'm honest, I don't know why. Is it quite interesting, isn't it? It was good. Yeah. It was good, but I couldn't handle it because I start to get a bit scared.
Well, I think there's a rush of those sort of things now. There's going to be another one about. I can't remember which one it is. I think they did a one where Martin Clunes played the detective that caught Levi Belfield, and they're going to do a follow-up to that with Martin Clunes playing the same detective again. So it's kind of like...
Someone,
you know,
else, did he? So they go from
a different murder investigation. No, it's going to be another murder investigation that he covered, this detective, this real-life detective. It's almost like you're turning him into Inspector Morse or something, but with real-life cases. And it's like, yeah, all right, we fucking, you know... Write some new stuff, you cunt.
But, like, Levi Belfield, he like, killed a child, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nah, I can't be watching shit like that. It just freaks me out.
Fair enough. Let's do some predictions instead, shall we?
Yes,
or you better say something else there.
Oh, just quickly, I was going to tell you about me. I gave my daughter a lift to school this morning.
Right.
And I always do it in, like, in a spirit of being... a nice, kind dad. Once in a while, I'll surprise her when I can see she's rushing in the morning. But I always regret it because she is mean to me. She bullies me, as we've discussed. And you know, she'll bully me all the way there in the car.
She probably respects you even less because you've given her a lift.
I think that's true. She's pathetic. Mum would never give me a lift. That's why I respect her. Yeah. Right?
Oh, would you like a lift, darling?
Right. She goes... various power plays she did, but then you hear yourself and you hear what a prick you are, and you kind of dig yourself as a dad, you can dig yourself deeper because they don't seem to respect you much, and you can see they think you're a prick, and then you start saying things to ingratiate yourself, and as you say them you can hear yourself and think, fucking hell, I'm making myself into even more of a prick.
Mm-hmm.
The classic this morning was I was thinking in my head, just don't talk. If you don't talk and you remain silent, she can't say anything to you. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? If you open your mouth, she's got you. Because whatever comes out of your mouth, she'll pounce on and bully you for it.
Yeah.
So if you just stay quiet, right? And clearly one of the reasons she thinks I'm a prick is because she thinks I talk too much, which is, I think, most people would agree with, right? That is one of the things that makes me a prick, right? And she's... so I'm trying to keep shtum. And she's scrolling for her phone. She won't let me have the radio on, right? She doesn't like Six Music. She thinks it's awful, right? And so she puts her own music on, and she's scrolling through on the iPod. She goes, just don't like any of my music at the moment. I just really going through one of those phases where I just don't really like any of it. Nothing's really catching me. And I just said... sort of almost dreamily, Andy, like I'd obviously, I was daydreaming and I was just out of nowhere. I don't know why I said that. I just went, to be honest, you should just start listening to reggae. I don't know why I said that. Why? Why should she start listening to reggae? I don't know why I said it.
Oh,
yeah, you should
God.
Probably just start listening to reggae, to be honest. You know.
What?
So it's the obvious next stage.
And then
right?
What happened? Did she just ask to get out of the car?
No.
Just drop
she
me
just
here.
Looked. No, she's got this thing where she goes to me. This is how extreme the bullying is. She says to me, get out. And I'm driving the fucking car. And I go, what? She goes, get out of the car. I go, but it's my car. She goes, no, it isn't. Not anymore. Get out. Right?
And I
Okay. How will you get to school? She goes, that's my business.
Get out of the car.
Get out of the car is like her almost catchphrase in the car.
It's good.
But the other thing she does is she does an undermining thing where she never will call me dad. She only calls me Sam. This started about a year ago.
Right.
And it's a fucking really great, fairly subtle power play.
Yeah.
And as I dropped her off, as I approached school, you see more kids and the teachers and stuff. And I start doing a running commentary. Like, I'll go like that. Okay. That cunt over there thinks he's hard or something like that.
Yeah.
Then I saw a girl that she knows who I know she's not that keen on. So I pretend, not for real, pretended as if I was going to wind down the window and go, "Oi, you twat," like that, right? And she's just gone, "Sam, can you just stop? You don't have to comment on every single person Sam. Or thing you see." And I go, "Look," I said, "look, the windows are up. No one can bloody hear." And she goes, "I can hear, Sam. I can hear." And then she just got out of the car and fucked off.
She has absolutely got you in her back pocket.
She's got me by the fucking bollocks. "Goodbye, darling." And I'm like this. "Bye, darling. Have a nice day. I love you." And she'll just roll her eyes at that.
Yeah.
Like,
next time you ask her if she wants a lift, she'll just say, "I don't think so." Not after the last time.
It happens every time.
I'd rather be late.
To be honest, you should just start listening to reggae.
Although, to be fair, that's a sentence you can use in almost any given situation.
Yeah,
to be honest,
true.
You should just start listening to reggae, because that's going to make everything better.
I sort of meant it, but it to her, it would have sounded really try-hard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you should be like me and get really into reggae. If you want, I'll make you a playlist on Spotify with some of the old stuff.
Get out of
the car. I'll start you off with a beginner's one, and then we'll work up with some pretty obscure stuff, like Dutch reggae. That's when you get really deep. Get into the Dutch reggae.
Oh, God. Hey, predictions, yeah?
Yeah.
Here we go. We'll rattle through these as quick as we can. First one from the random fixture generating blob, Latvia. Our friends in Latvia.
The Latvians.
And they're up against the
Faroe. Some loyalty to those
they're
lads.
Up against the Faroe Islands. What do you reckon?
I'm going to go 3-0 Latvia.
3-0 Latvia.
We ride those Latvians who work for us quite hard, to be honest.
We do.
Like, we made them carry on working through COVID and everything like that.
Yeah. Well, they volunteered, didn't they? Can I say 3-0 as well? Just a bit of solidarity.
Oh, and
the
just while
there.
We're on the Latvians, just if you saw the newsletter which went out today, you'll see that there is some new ready-to-wear items from our fashion label, House of Cunts. that the Latvians have made. One is Fire Knows No Boundaries, and the other one is I Am the Spirit of Dark and Lonely Water. They're both beautiful items. They help you remain safe and vigilant too.
Okay.
And you can get T-shirts or hoodies in several colours.
Whoa, I'm going to stock up on them. Right, what was the second game? Turkey versus Russia. I'll go first on this one.
I know. Spicy.
1-1, I reckon. I know nought about
it. I'm going to say 1-0 Turkey. And aggro is going to be absolutely first class.
Kick the foot right off. You think that's going to be aggro? Get a load of this. Albania versus Kazakhstan.
Oh,
the big one.
2-1 Albania.
Ooh.
Love the Albanians. I was in Albania once, watched West Ham beat Man U in a fucking really rough bar in the middle of Tirana. And when West Ham scored the winning goal, I stood up and knocked a table over with beer on. And all of the fucking terrifying blokes looked around and started applauding and dancing. I think they just thought it was hilarious that there was an English person watching this game, but that he didn't support Manchester United.
Also that you'd brought chaos to the scene.
Yeah, they were all watching this game like Manchester United versus some other fucking team. Right? Yeah, he's English. He must support Manchester United. And they go fucking mad that the other team have scored. They loved it. Yeah, they enjoyed the chaos.
Excellent. Portugal versus France, which is a proper match. I'll go first on that one. Portugal versus France. I reckon that will be 2-1 France.
That's a high-class match. I'm going to say 2-2.
2-2. Malta versus Andorra, finally. What do you reckon?
Again, been to both those places, Malta and Andorra. Had a much better time in Andorra than Malta. But let's be honest, there's no way Andorra are going to get a result. So I'm going to say Malta 3, Andorra 0.
Malta 3. Going with your head rather than your heart there.
It is. Yeah, I hated Malta. It was shit.
I'm going to go. I went to Malta. It was all right. But I think we were just on a beach for the entire time.
I had to be there for work. That's what made it
fuck
shit.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
You said you said Malta 3, Andorra 0, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to go 2-0 to Malta for that one then. That's it. That's the predictions. Before we go, we'll just quickly mention a couple of podcasts that we were associated with. I'd like to big up the latest episode of Beans on Toast, which I do with my son, because we've unboxed a PS5 controller in the latest one.
Have you got a PS5?
No, I've just got the controller. The PS5's not out till next week, but we've got the controller.
Apparently, if you point a PS5 controller at a PS4, the PS4 will upgrade.
Oh, right, it'll just, like, regenerate,
you
like
can
Doctor
still
Who.
Play it as if it's as if it's a PS5.
Oh, we ain't got a PS4 either. Was it work with an Xbox?
Yeah.
So, we've done an unboxing on a podcast, an unboxing of something you can't actually see or watch us do. Other one is Alan Johnson's new podcast, which is, what's it called again?
It's called How to Change the World of Alan Johnson, and it's him in convert. It's Alan Johnson, who is obviously a great man, very interesting, very smart. Just brilliant. And it's him sort of chatting with interesting people, smart people. And he talks about their lives and careers, but then he also asks all of them for one idea, which could be big or small, that could change the world.
Right.
And they outline that. And the first couple of episodes were with politicians, but the one out right now, the third episode, is with the comedian Stuart Lee. And it is really great. If you like this podcast, I think you'll like that series, particularly that episode. Mm-hmm. And there's other interesting ones coming up. One week he's doing James Dean Bradfield from the Manic Street Preachers.
Nice one. Yeah. Well, that'll be good. I'm going to listen to that today while I walk the dog. So there we are.
And just quickly, you've made me think now. I want to now copy Beans on Toast and do unboxings. The question is, what are we going to unbox? Well, over to you, listeners. We all remember our mate who sent us all that free coffee and shit. Right, if you're listening, mate, we could do with a refill. So you know, drop us a line. If not, if you run a small business, and you're making an item that we might enjoy, send it to us, and we will unbox the cunt on air for you. Yeah,
but it's got to
be good.
Dive.
It's got to be something good.
Yeah, fair enough.
But then good to us is most stuff that's free. So.
I mean, we plan to do more unboxings on Beans on Toast, but we're just going to buy our own things because we don't have that kind of influence.
Because then you don't. Then you're more like, what's his name? That travel editor,
Simon Calder.
Yeah, pays for his own holidays. The fucking mug.
He never goes anywhere. The cunt. Right, that's it from this one. Thanks very much. Have a good weekend, everyone. TDFN, dickheads.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.